Morning, everybody.
Morning.
Right. We've been looking at a particular theme. Can anybody say what that theme is? You can shout it out. Sorry, I heard that somewhere, but what was it? Restoration. Yes. Yeah. Oh, did you say it? Oh. I missed that. I'm sorry. Okay. Restoration. I kicked off on that theme a few weeks ago, taking a line from a song that we sing. And the line is, you renew, you restore, you revive. Then Joe talked about restoring our relationship with God. Sometimes Christians fall away from the faith, they backslide, but God wants people to come back to him, into a relationship with him. And then David, the other week, shared about refloating the axe head or renewing our cutting edge as Christians. And then last week, Pete and Alex shared about the restoring of hope. We all need hope, don't we? Today, I want to share about the subject of restoring the city or the town or the community. I just want to ask a question. And that is, can God transform a city? We hear on the individual level about, for example, through Alpha, through CAP, how people's lives can be restored to how they ought to be. But can God transform a whole city? Oh, good. Now, there is a future promise, which a time still to come, which the opening hymn that Liz brought us alluded to when it talked about the trumpet sounding and the Lord coming down, descending to the earth. Habakkuk talks about that. He says, the earth will be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. But what about our own town here? Or call it a city. We're called City Church, after all. Cleethorpes, villages round about, a community. You know, colleagues at work. I heard at the one event, there was one of the seminars that I was helping steward at. A girl there shocked me in that I saw something that could happen that I didn't think really could happen. And that was, she was in a school in Lincolnshire. And she was probably about year 10, and she started praying, and within a few weeks there were about 30 students who'd all become Christians, and there was like a mini revival taking place in that school community. And I just thought, oh my goodness, what have I been doing all my life? You know, there's a little outbreak of God moving and bringing life and light, renewal, revival. Well, can God transform a whole city? And what I want to just do and leave us this morning with is what God can do through you and me, because he doesn't do it independently of you and me. We're invited to join with him, to be his ambassadors. And Ephesians 3 and verse 20 says this, to him, Paul writes this, he says, to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power at work in us. What do we need to see happen in our area, in our town? You know, a lot of what we've been looking at on the theme of restoration is on the personal level, what God can do for you and me, and that's so important to God. But as has been mentioned this morning, God is not just wanting it for you and me, but it to spread out and reach our community. And so I've got a list here. I don't know if it's up on the thing. Probably the next one. Things that we need to see changed in Grimsby and Cleethorpes. I asked Joy, who leads kids work, who's on the kids camp at the moment. I said, Joy, what do you think? You know, looking, going as you go around Grimsby and Cleethorpes, what would you say are the things that need to be changed? And she said, I think hopelessness and a low self-esteem. Do you think so? And she said, you know, when I look at people around Asda and walking down Freeman Street, which is where the centre is, I see people with heads down, drudging along, you know, sort of dragging their heels, and they're not old or anything, you know, and just low expectation, low self-esteem, not much hope. I mean, many of us in here have things to look forward to. Do you have things to look forward to? You know, a lot of people don't have things to look forward to. The very poor and people with great needs, they don't have anything to look forward to. Life is moving from one stress to another in many ways. But it's God's heart to bring restoration, renewal, new life to people. He's interested in people. And so there's hopelessness and low self-esteem, unemployment, addiction, broken and dysfunctional families, and poverty. These are on God's heart. God wants to bring a change. Now, when our Lord Jesus got up in a synagogue in Galilee, in modern-day Israel, and he quoted from the prophet Isaiah, he got the scroll, he said this. He said, "The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord," next slide, it may be on the next slide, "The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is on me because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to set the oppressed free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favour." And that's Jesus. And then he got up from there and began 3.5 years of incredible work amongst ordinary people. He raised the dead. He healed the sick. He cast out demons. He taught people how to live a successful life in this life and be sure that when you die, life doesn't stop there, but you have eternal life and you'll never die. Praise God. It's an amazing gospel, good news message that Jesus brings. And we're his people. We're followers of Jesus, and therefore we're here to do the same thing. And so how can we do that? We need to just understand that there are two basic barriers. One is the fact that we're all sinners, and sin is a barrier. It's a problem that keeps us from recognizing what God has done for us. That's one big problem. The other problem is that there is a very real but invisible force that is working against the church and working against God's purposes on earth. It's headed up by a particular individual that the Bible calls Satan or the devil. And this invisible force with myriads of demonic agents is behind many of the sources of division in our world and wars and trouble of all kinds of things. And his constant effort to break you up, to run you down, to destroy, to steal and kill. And that is a force that we, in God, are able to do something about. And I'm just going to flick through these things and go straight to... Can you just go through the slides? Can you just keep going? Okay, next one. Okay, there's a situation there in the Bible in Daniel where it talks about Daniel, who'd been praying and fasting for 3 weeks. He was wanting an answer to his prayers. He wanted his people, the Israelites, to be able to fulfill God's purpose for their lives. And he was after an answer. But the answer was held up in the spiritual realms, in this invisible realm. And there was a certain prince of Persia, which was like a demonic force over Iraq and Iran, modern-day Iraq and Iran. This force was stopping the answer coming to Daniel. But Michael comes along, this powerful, good force, and overcame this resistance. And the answer came through to him. And it's an amazing picture of the battle that there is for the hearts and souls of people. And where there's darkness and where God wants to bring restoration, there are two problems. One is the fact that we sin and we have this barrier. but also there are forces of darkness, spiritual forces of darkness. But 2 Corinthians 10 and verse 4, if we can just keep going, skip that one, go to that one. The weapons we fight with are not the weapons of the world. On the contrary, they have divine power to demolish strongholds. And we demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God. And we take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ. What I want to do this morning is show you a video clip that will last approximately 12 minutes. And it's about a situation where a town actually was transformed by the power of God. And so can God do that for here? Could he do that for anywhere else? Well, let's have a look at this case in point. And then after that, I'm just going to draw some concluding little points from that, which won't last very long. And then we're just going to pray. I'll conclude in prayer. But this place is a place called Alma Longa. You may even have seen it. And it's in Guatemala. It's got a population of around about 18,000 people. This didn't happen yesterday. This happened about 22 years ago. But the principles still apply for today. So can God transform a society? Can he transform an area? So if we could have the video and play that, that would be good.
Many cite Alma Longa as a world-class example of community transformation. It may very well be. As many as 8 out of 10 residents now consider themselves born-again Christians. But it hasn't always been like this. Just 20 years ago, Alma Longa was a dark and dangerous place.
Suffered from poverty, violence, ignorance, and besides that, alcohol was the main drug. If you would go to Alma Longa 20 years ago in the morning, 7 a.m., and walk the streets of Alma Longa, you would have encountered many, many men just lying on the street because they were totally drunk.
We had many jails because there were so many problems.
Chief of Police Donato Santiago recalls that people were always fighting. Officials built 4 jails, but even they couldn't contain the problem. Overflow prisoners were routinely bused to a nearby city. Domestic violence was especially pronounced.
I talked to a woman who said that her husband would, if he didn't like the meal, that she would be beaten and just kicked out of the home.
Pastor Mariano Rizcaje, one of the key leaders of Alma Longa's spiritual turnaround, has similar memories.
I was raised in misery. My father sometimes drank for 40 to 50 straight days. We never had a big meal, only a little tortilla with a small glass of coffee. My parents spent what little money they had on alcohol.
In an effort to ease their suffering, many townspeople made pacts with folk deities like Pascual Bailon, the Lord of Death, and Mashimon, a powerful patron saint.
Mashimon, he was the most important idol in the world. When the Spaniards came to Guatemala 500 years ago, they found that the indigenous people, they were willing to negotiate certain things. There was one thing they were not willing to do any deal about, and that was Mashimon. That was too important an item for them.
This syncretism created a powerful stronghold. Although Mashimon took on the form of a wooden mannequin, the spirit behind the idol held tenacious power over the people of Alma Longa.
It's just a wooden mask, but it's very powerful, a terrible stronghold that binds people.
During these dark days, the gospel did not fare well. Outside evangelists were commonly chased away with sticks or rocks, while small local house churches were also stoned. Evangelical Christians were a despised minority. On one occasion, 6 men shoved a gun barrel down Mariano's throat. As they began to pull the trigger, he silently petitioned the Lord for protection. When the hammer fell, nothing happened. Delivered from death, Pastor Rizcaje called his small flock into prayer. It was time to break the stranglehold of violence, superstition, and poverty. As the intercessors lifted their petitions heavenward, they They were filled with a supernatural faith.
We told the Lord, it is not possible that we could be so insignificant when your word says we are heads and not tails. We kept fasting 3 or 4 days a week, and every Saturday we held a prayer meeting. And that was what I think opened the door.
The insight to the number of men starting to be saved and come to church was a tremendous, tremendous blessing. I remember all the times.
And then after many signs and wonders started taking place, and a lot of mass deliverances from a lot of depression, churches started growing.
It is the truth that when people cry, cloud the skies will burn, kings and queens will shine. Yes, it's true. And I believe it.
One dramatic healing involved a woman named Teresa. A botched medical procedure had led to the onset of gangrene. Her internal organs were literally rotting.
I was in a lot of pain, so much that I couldn't walk. My whole body was paralyzed and I couldn't even eat or talk.
She was very sick, and her condition got worse with every passing day. There was nothing we could do, so we decided to arrange her funeral because there was no hope for her.
The house was filled with family members and neighbors had gathered outside. Everyone thought she was dying. The smell of death was everywhere.
They called me to arrange the funeral, and on the way there, the Lord told me to pray for her. So I just went up to her bed and said, "In the name of Jesus Christ, get up." And she rose up instantly with no sickness in her body.
I felt the warmth, and I saw a bright light above me. Then I opened my eyes, and I saw the pastor. I rejoice before the Lord for my healing, and I give thanks to God for my life.
After they saw the miracle, my mother and all my brothers and sisters were converted.
With such dramatic testimonies, hundreds began giving their hearts to Christ.
When people saw that the gospel started changing lives, they started taking note. People started becoming more and more attracted to the gospel because they saw the transformation in individual lives.
Now, there are more than 24 evangelical churches in Almolonga, a town of just 19,000. Mariano Rizcaje's El Calvario Church seats 1,200 and is nearly always packed. But the Holy Spirit's presence has not been measured by church growth alone. A walk through Almolonga's bustling commercial district reveals the impact of the revival's social transformation. Streets and buildings are named after biblical places. If foreigners find this public display of faith extraordinary, Mariano sees it as perfectly natural.
How can you say that you love God if you don't show Him? Didn't Paul say, "I am not ashamed of the gospel"?
Where once Almolonga was peppered with bars or cantinas, 36 in all, now there are only 3. And as the drinking stopped, so did the violence. For 20 years, the town's crime rate has declined steadily. In 1994, the last of Almolonga's 4 jails closed. The remodeled building is now called the Hall of Honor. For Police Chief Santiago, these are the good times.
You don't have any jails in town now?
No, right now.
Because you don't need them?
No, porque no hay gente que comete a
delito. No, porque there's no people that
do drugs. No,
they
do drugs.
No, not like a phone.
Even the town's agricultural base has come to life. For years, crop yields around Almolonga suffered from a combination of arid land and poor work habits. But as the people have turned to God, they have seen a remarkable transformation of their land.
And Almolonga became a fertile valley. It is so fertile that the land is so good. They produce the best vegetables. They get as many as 3 harvests per year. They sell their vegetables to Guatemala, south of Mexico, and El Salvador.
Before the spiritual turnaround, growers were exporting 4 truckloads of produce a month. Now they leave town 40 times a week. nicknamed America's Vegetable Garden, Al Belonga's produce is of biblical proportions.
You have to see him to believe. Beets is 4.5 pounds. A carrot is this size. It is just unbelievable.
Intrigued by the dimensions of these vegetables and the town's 1,000% increase in agricultural productivity, researchers from the U.S. and other foreign countries have come to Al Belonga to learn their secret. But the answer is not what they expected.
The wisdom that God gave the farmers in Al Belonga produced better crops than the scientific methods yielded. And the farmers constantly give the glory to the Lord for producing the bountiful harvest.
Before, when we harvested the radish, it would take up to 60 days. But when God came into town, it only took 40. And now, quite often, it only takes 25 days to harvest. You can see a parallel between the people's faith and improving soil. At the same time people had started believing in Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, the vegetables started growing. Once people were set free, they started working. Once they began to work, they gained financially. They started working the land better, and the land started producing better.
Farmers pay cash for large Mercedes trucks, and then emblazon them with Christian phrases.
It is wonderful, and it is the result of the gospel transforming the community.
Idolatry and superstition have fled, leaving behind a people dedicated to fervent worship and honest labor. Traditional stoicism has given way to heartfelt exuberance.
Or what you have is 20 Protestant churches, very active, very militant, and very involved in praise, in worship, deliverance, and so on and so forth.
Despite their success, believers in Al Belonga have no intention of letting up. Many fast 3 times a week and continue to assault the forces of darkness through prayer and evangelism. As neighboring towns celebrate the Day of the Dead, the people of Al Belonga turn out in mass to honor the living God. The town's born-again mayor welcomed a crowd of almost 15,000 into the market square. They gathered to pray for a continued expansion of the gospel in their valley and around the world.
The price we pay for this is holiness and consecration. Prayer and fasting gives us victories over principalities. It wasn't a theological preparation, it was simply throwing ourselves to the Lord.
I think in many cases when we talk about community transformation, we have a battle with unbelief. Is our God and is the gospel powerful enough to truly impact our community? Al Belonga teaches us yes.
Well, whatever you think of that, we could do with a bit of that, couldn't we, I think. Can you remember in the, I don't know if you, I can't really because I wasn't born, but in the 1950s, the three-day millionaires, can you remember? No, I know you're not. Yeah, no, I mean, you won't remember that either, yeah. The area was quite a prosperous area, wasn't it? Wouldn't it be wonderful if there's a return to that? But when the gospel takes hold and God moves, everything is touched in the land, and that's a wonderful thing, isn't it? Now, on the just continuing with this briefly, some of the things that happened, they took away idolatry, worshipping something other than the true and living God. And is there anything in your life, my life, that comes before our commitment to following the Lord? There was deliverance from people who were addicted to all sorts of things. Violence went down. Men were saved. Men are resistant to the gospel because it seems a bit soppy. a man dying on a cross isn't that macho at first sight. Prisons and bars close, miracles take place, prosperity returns. So what can we learn and how can we apply it to our lives? I think one of the things we can just take from this is that God has an answer for every situation we face in life. There is a way through. Whatever your problem, whatever your difficulty, look at these people, how their lives were changed. And God has an answer for any and every situation that we face. The next thing just to say is that what God's looking from us is to be a people of faith. That is someone, I've heard this already this morning, someone who trusts in the Lord. Reliance on him. So we go to him to bring answers to the needs that we have. Don't be overwhelmed by the size of the problem. We start small. But how we can make small steps are things like Alpha, where we get people to come along, but we cover it in prayer. And we pray and we don't give up until we get an answer. The answer may be stop praying like that and pray differently. But God will guide you and I on things to pray for. And then one final little thought, and then we're actually just going to spend just a few moments in prayer. This is one of Joe's t-shirts. I have checked that it's clean. It's always been a bit of a mystery, this, to me, because it's against my nature, really. But take someone with you. So when you're praying, or if you've got a need, or you're praying for someone, your neighbour, or someone you want to see transformation, someone you want to see God's life come to, one way that you can amplify the power of your praying is to get together with somebody. Now, if you've got a really good friend, you can do that with and pray with them. Great. If you're married, you've got a natural partner to pray with. But a time in our life when we lived in Louth, I've mentioned this before, but Liz got together with some people and they had a prayer triplet. And they constantly were amazed at the answers to prayer that they received just when they got together with other people and prayed about things in the will of God and saw breakthrough to situations. So we need to pray, don't we? I think what we can see from this video is where there's a will, where we come to God, where we put God first in our lives, and where we say, God, with man, there's a little caption that David puts on the information that goes out on email. With man, this is impossible. But with God, all things are possible. And God can do anything if we come to him in faith, trusting him, and seek him and ask him. So I wonder, just as we close this morning, what I'd like to do is just spend a few short moments praying. The first thing I want to pray for is with regard to what Liz said at the beginning about it being well with your soul. Well, I hope it is well with your soul. I hope you feel that way. But you may be here this morning and you say, well, it's not well with, or whatever, it's not well with my body, or it's not well with something. And we're going to stand. And what I'd like you to do, I'd like us all to do, is to just put our hands out before the Lord this morning. If you're in that situation, you say, well, I have a need this morning and I have an impossible situation. Well, God is the God of impossibilities, knocking those down and making them possible. Then we will pray for you in your situation. That's the first thing. By the way, what's that thing where it says, remember joy? Fantastic, yes. Jesus, others, yourself. So a way to get joy is put Jesus first, others second, and yourself third. But we're going to just reverse it to start off with and pray for you. Because you can't do much good if you're full of sorrow and misery and you're feeling hopeless. Okay? And then I'll lead in prayer, and it won't be very long. We'll pray for our area. We'll pray for Grimsby and Cleethorpes, that God will move by his spirit. I mean, the thing about those people there in Alma Longa, they were desperate, weren't they? Now, question here is, for me and you, how desperate are you? Because when you're desperate, if you've really got a need and you want something enough, you'll go to extraordinary measures to get it. And the thing is, you can go to God and get things, and you can't ordinarily. So you can be desperate to be a millionaire, but you'll never be able to do it if God's not with you. But with God, if you're desperate for the concerns on his heart, and he, you come to him, and we're desperate for our area, desperate for the people around about to know God, or we have a particular need in our lives. I remember we were about to join a missionary organization, and I was desperate to sell the house. So I followed the, and it was moving in God's will. But I needed to sell the house to do it. So I fasted for, I think it was 7 days, only water. My teeth were aching. The first 3 days were not too bad. Fourth day, it's getting hard. Fifth day, I started aching. I was lying in bed, aching all over. I said to Liz, I can't go on with this any longer. I think, you know, that's all I can do. 7 days, got up. Then within a few days, someone came along. No, none of the houses were selling along the road anywhere. And this guy came along, and after a conversation or two, he bought the house, and we moved on. But I was desperate. And sometimes we have to be desperate for whatever it is we're seeking God for. And I have to say, to be honest, I'm not that desperate for this nation to fast 3 days on a trot. But we can make small starts. And our prayers are effective. And we start small. And we ask God to help us. And our prayers are effective. So we'll do that. And to pray, I'll just say a prayer for our government. And then if you've got neighbours, colleagues, that you're concerned that they become Christians. I have got neighbours all around me, and I talk to all of them, but none of them yet I've told about Jesus. I'm waiting my time. But when will my time come? It's like J. John at the one event. He says most of us Christians are like the mouths of rivers in the Arctic Circle, frozen. God help us with that. So could I invite us to stand up, and we'll spend about 2 minutes prayer. So in prayer, can we put our hands out in front of us this morning? And in putting our hands out, we're coming before the Lord this morning and opening ourselves up to him. And so I just want to ask, if you have a need this morning, then God's interested in faith. That is your trust in him. Just trusting him and saying, God, I need you. I want you. I need you in my life. I have, Lord, this issue in my life. This is me echoing, imagining what you might be thinking. I have this need in my life, oh God. With me, with people, this is impossible. But Lord, I come to you. I offer this up to you. Lord, help me. Lord, come to my situation right now. In the name of Jesus. I thank you, Lord, that you are all-powerful. That you are kind. You're gracious. And you love to answer prayer. And so, God, I come to you this morning. Minister to me in Jesus' name. Amen. And Lord, we want to come to you this morning as well for our area, for our town, for Grimsby and Cleethorpes. We want to come to you for those who are addicted to different substances. We want to come to you to those who live in a dysfunctional family. We want to come to you for those people who have very little, if anything, to look forward to for the future. For those who have little or no hope. Lord, we come to you for people who are struggling, who don't have it easy. And for our area, just for the people around us who, on the whole, don't know you. Oh God, we long for people to come to know you. And Lord, we ask you for the Alpha course. We pray for Tuesday. There'll be a great number of people there on Tuesday night. And we pray, Lord, for people that we might be able to invite. I think of my neighbours, Lord, that I can invite them. And that our mouths could not be frozen. But Lord, we could speak about you in a good way, in a sensible way. But that we can open our mouths and speak about you, Lord. So we just look to you, Lord, for our town, for our area. Pray there would be restoration of good things in this town. There would be jobs. created. This would be a good area because of you. Like with Alma Longa, this would be a good area. Oh God, that there'd be a turning to you. So Lord, we just commit all this to you. We commit the government to you. We commit the national government. We commit the local government to you. We just pray for good leadership in our nation and that you would bless our nation. And just like with the Olympics, as we're winning golds and have won golds, that God, this would be a good time, a time of the favor of the Lord upon our nation and upon our area. And Lord, we just commit ourselves to follow you, to do what we can, to start small, make small steps, but know that you are the answer. So Lord, we give you all the praise and we give you all the glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Amen.